So, church, without further ado, he is back and he is ready to bring the word this morning. Why don't we welcome him, our senior pastor, Pastor Kerry.
Thanks, Craig. Morning, church. How are you all this morning? Just going to get ready. Wow. I could probably tell everyone to go home now. What a great morning we've had so far. Well, you're about to have an even better morning, because the Word of God is going to come straight at you. But I've had a good break, and family and I, we went down to Busselton last week and just had a really great time. And I really encourage families just to, it doesn't cost much to go on holiday. Just go grab a tent. I see a lot of the women going, grab a tent. Sally loves tenting. That's what made me marry her, because she loves camping. But really have some family time. It's really important. But I heard a joke while I was away too. And I don't mean to offend anyone, but a vegan. That's right, there was a vegan that said to me, it says, people who sell meat are disgusting, absolutely disgusting. Everyone who sells meat or gives it away is disgusting. And I said, yeah, but people who sell fruit and vegetables are grosser. Some of you will get it. Ask the person next to you. But, I think I've told that joke about 100 times to my family and they're not laughing anymore, but they still don't get it. But anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we have ears to hear this morning, eyes to see. And Lord, I pray, empty me right now of all my worldliness and everything that's of me, and Lord, fill me afresh of you. Lord, I pray, Lord, this morning, Lord, that people in this house will have revelation of your love, of your beauty, and of your light. We just pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, this year we're going to, in between sermon series, I'm going to be preaching on the parables. Jesus preached parables and spoke in parables. So why not do what he does? That's what I want to do. That's all I want to do, is do what Jesus does. I'm not there yet, but I'm trying hard. And this morning, the message is reflecting Jesus, which comes from two parables. But before we get into it, I heard a story once that a four-year-old boy, and it was in this church, had been playing a game with one of the little girls about at the same age. And he said to his father how much fun he had in children's church. And his dad asked him what the game was called, and he said it was called Barbie Says. And he thought it was an interesting sounding game, so he asked him how he played it. And he says, well, the little girl is called Barbie, and you have to do whatever she says. See, both of these kids are learning too much about life too soon, aren't they? Some people think that to be a Christian, you have to play the game. The same kind, like what with God. You have to play. I have to do what God says. God says something and then we automatically do it. Not because that we think it's a good idea, or because we want to, but because God is ordering us around. But that really isn't the case at all. While God has specific ways that he wants us to live, we choose to live his will because we have come to learn that God's way is the best way. And that by living that way, he asks us to, we find ourselves in the process of becoming more like him. Now, there are two short parables that we're going to look at together to show us that we have the ability to reflect Jesus in our lives. That in living for God, we become the reflection of God to the world around us. And in doing this, we have the potential to lead others into the same type of relationship with Him. So let's pick it up in Luke chapter 8, verse 16 and 18. It says, "No one would light a lamp and then cover it up and put it under the bed. No. Lamps are mounted in the open where they can be seen by those entering the house. For everything that is hidden or secret will eventually be brought to light and made plain to all. So be sure to pay attention to what you hear. To those who are open to my teaching, more understanding will be given." Who's listening this morning? You're all listening? Good. "But those who are not listening, even what they think they have will be taken away from them." Let's go to Luke chapter 11, verse 33 to 36. Same book. No one lights a lamp and then hides it or puts it under a basket. Instead, it is put on a lampstand to give light to all who enter the room. Your eye is a lamp for your body. A pure eye lets sunshine into your soul, but an evil eye shuts out the light and plunges you into darkness. Make sure that the light you think you have is not really darkness. If you are filled with light, with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant as though a floodlight is shining on you. I am so glad that I've got a couple of floodlights shining on me right now. You probably notice that these two parables are almost identical. Well, let's look at them in detail and find out how we can reflect Jesus Christ in our lives today. And in your outlines, if you've got an outline there, turn to them. The first word, R word, we're looking at three R's this morning. The first one is recognition. There are two basic truths that Jesus wants us to recognize this morning, and they are: one, Jesus is the light. So when Jesus refers to the lamp, he's referring to himself. This light that no one in their right mind would hide under a bed or put under a basket is none other than Jesus Christ himself. And the purpose of this light is to give people the ability to see. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." He is saying the same basic thing in our parables. He is the light. He is the light bearer, and he is also the light giver. And number two, Jesus wants to shine in my life. He wants to shine in your life. Again, we see the simple logic that Jesus conveys to us. None of us are going to walk into our bedroom this evening, turn on our bedside lamp, and then place it underneath the bed. Unless you're a six-year-old hiding lollies or something. But why? Because it will defeat the purpose for which we turn the light on in the first place. And the only reason we're using the lamp is to make it easier to see. Just as Jesus describes himself as the lamp, he is saying that our individual lives are just like this room or house that needs to be lit. Now, I think this part is pretty simple. And recognizing that Jesus is the light and that he wants us to shine in each of our lives. That's recognition. But the next part is a little bit harder, and I want to spend a little bit more time on it. And that is first, what the second R is reception. Okay, my all-time favourite sporting captain, is right here, Richie McCaw. He once captained the New Zealand All Blacks. He played 148 test matches, captained 110, and he is the most capped test rugby player in rugby union, in the history of rugby union. I loved watching those games where he showed highlights of his long, successful career. And when I'm watching Richie playing his tactical but yet brutal plays, he makes it look so easy that for at least a moment I begin to think that I could even do it. Does someone want to stand here? You're laughing. Who's laughing? If someone wants to stand there, and I'll tackle you. And then we'll pray healing over you and me. But when I really begin to think about it, I realise that the only reason Richie McCaw has had so much success in rugby is because he has disciplined himself to be the best player, to be the best leader and the best captain he can be. And the same is true when it comes to us reflecting Jesus. See, the recognition part is easy. I understand that Jesus is the light and that he wants to shine through my life. That's the easy part, isn't it? But making that happen takes some hard work and discipline if I'm going to be very successful at it. So number one in your outline, we must have an open mind. Luke chapter 8, verse 18 says, "So be sure to pay attention to what you hear. To those who are open to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But to those who are not listening, even what they think they will be taken away from them." And Luke chapter 11 verse 34 says, "Your eye is a lamp for your body, a pure eye lets sunshine into your soul, but an evil eye shuts out the light that plunges you into darkness." See, the first parable refers to having ears that hear. And the second refers to having eyes that see. Both descriptions refer to having a mind that is open to the truth of Jesus Christ. It is impossible for me to reflect the light of Jesus Christ until I have allowed the light to come into my own mind and set up residence there. Now, maybe you're a new Christian, or some of you might be just considering to be a Christian. Or perhaps you've been a Christian for a number of years. Whatever the case, you need to thoroughly examine the teachings that Christ gave, as well as the teachings other biblical writers gave concerning him, hence my teachings of the parables. And I will guarantee you that if you begin seeing Jesus through open ears and open eyes of purity, you will begin to see him in ways that you have never, ever seen him before. And I believe this morning, what we experienced this morning in prayer, in healing, is just a glimpse of what the church can achieve, what can happen when we are so in tune with Jesus. This Jesus, while loving and kind and compassionate, is the different Jesus that I grew up in Sunday school to. The paper cut out Jesus walking along the river. That's all I learned. Not I learned a lot more in Sunday school, but that's the paper cut out of Jesus. And this Jesus, while he's loving and he's kind and he's compassionate, is a very dangerous character that challenges not only my way of living in this world, but my entire worldview. He is continually transforming me from this world into his kingdom. This Jesus is a loving and kind and compassionate person. And until I'm willing to open my mind up to see the Christ in the Bible, I will not be able to reflect him as adequately as I could. And trust me, there are times in my life where I do not reflect Jesus Christ. I am a work in progress, as we all are. Number two, a discerning spirit. Now, while I'm opening my mind up to the light, which is Jesus, I want to make sure that I'm discerning enough to accept the truth about him. And that's where we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit more than ever now. Because Jesus makes a very interesting statement in Luke 11:35 that should cause us all some intense reflection. He says, make sure that the light you think you have is not really darkness. I spent my early years growing up in the church and learned a lot about Christianity. Learn a lot. But looking back, I realized I didn't learn much about Jesus. Much of what I thought was the light was really a pale imitation of the truth. I was learning how to be religious. That's what I was learning to be. But I knew very little about relationship that I could have with Jesus Christ. It was all keeping the rules. It was about church attendance. It was about Bible reading. It was all those types of things. It was a requirement. But I knew very little about what it meant to call Jesus a friend and brother. Now, I'm not blaming this on anyone else. Most likely, I just didn't understand, as do many people. But I've come to realize that we sometimes accept the light of Christ is really a false religious system that we believe in some type of panacea that can never really bring us close to Christ. And we have to get out of that mold. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, even Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. That's scary. Legalistic Christianity, which I'm sure some of you have either been involved with or experienced. False views of Christ, such as taught by the cults, works-based salvation, are all roots of Satan used to make us think that we are walking in the light when we're really trapped in darkness. And we have to have enough discernment. We have to draw on the Holy Spirit to know that Christ, that the Christ we worship, Jesus Christ, is the same one that is represented in the Scripture. Only then are we prepared to shine for others. Number three, the supernatural, a surrender of control. I reckon this is so supernatural. I can remember teaching my two oldest girls how to drive. That's me. There came a point in time where I had to move over to the passenger side of the car and obviously let them take the wheel and begin driving down the road. All of a sudden, I found myself breaking into a sweat, having visions of horrible experiences yet to come and wondering if I'd lost my mind. Hence, I handed that job over to my wife, Sally. And she did a great job. But there comes a point in each of our lives when we have to move out of the driver's seat and let Jesus take over. And for some of us control freaks, that's a pretty hard thing to do. And of course, unlike my kids, Jesus is a much better driver than I am. It's not as if I'm handing my life over to some type of novice here. Jesus knows more about my life than I need, than I do, and my needs than what I do. But to receive him fully, I have to let him take over. This is something that only happens when we fully recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord. It is only when we come to grips with the fact that we haven't done such a good job of running our own lives that we need him to take over so that can happen. And when we allow him to take control, we find that there is nothing to be frightened of ever again. And we begin to wonder why we didn't do it sooner. Have you ever done that? Have you ever given your life to Christ? A lot of you have given your life to Christ and thought, gee, only if I'd done that sooner. That was reception. Now let's look at reflection. Once we've received Jesus in the way I've just been elaborating on, we will be ready to begin to reflecting his light in our own lives. And we do that out of a response, not a requirement. And what I mean by is that we begin to transform our minds and our hearts into his mind and his heart. And we do the things his way because we want to do that and desire to do that. Not because we have to. Reflection comes when we're actively participating in becoming more like Jesus Christ ourselves. Some of us, like myself, still have a long, long, long way to go. So number one, in a level of understanding. How do we do this? In a level of understanding. Remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, 18. To those who are open to my teaching, okay, more understanding will be given. Some of you know that we homeschooled our kids, and Sally started with them many years ago teaching numbers and letters and colours and some elementary things like that, and then she taught them primary and then high school. But I remember being pleasantly surprised when one of our sons was at a store and he was having difficulty in reading. But he saw a word, and it was a big word, and he sounded it out in front of me, completely on his own, with no encouragement from me. He was at a point in his life where he wanted to learn. And he enjoys his newfound knowledge, and when he opens himself up to it, the understanding grows and builds what he's already learned on. And he went to the next sign, and he sounded it out. And as he went to each word, he got more and more excited. And as a dad, not being a school teacher, I was excited that he'd grasped hold of something, he'd grasped hold of an idea, he'd grasped hold of a concept, and he was excited to move forward with it. The same is true for us when we come to an understanding who Jesus Christ is, our relationship to him and place and our place in this world. Now, when we come to him ready and eager to receive his truth, he begins to reflect himself in us by increasing the level of understanding. I used to hate reading because I suffered dyslexia, but I had a great memory. But for years, my walk with Jesus was pretty non-existent because I didn't get to know him. But when I decided to give my whole life to him, reading became so much easier. The more I read about him, the more I got to know him, and the more I got to know him, the more my life was transformed. You can't wing it, people. You cannot wing it being a Christian by not reading the Word, his Word. You know, some love reading. I used to love reading about the rich and famous. You know, when Michael Jackson was alive, when I was a kid, if anything, I was flicking through the magazines at the doctor's surgery, anything about Michael Jackson, I'd want to read. Because he was famous. And other famous people, used to like reading what they were up to, the affairs that they were having and what shopping and what they were eating. And I wanted to know them. I wanted to know what made these people tick. It actually got so embarrassing that I actually had to put those books away because the Lord told me, you're a gossip. That's what it is. It's just voyeurism, gossip, horrible things, these magazines. And the Lord said to me, he says, you want to know who the most famous person is on this planet? It's Jesus. As you want to know what I eat and what I do and how I walk and what I say and you're going to be like me? Yeah, I do. Well, it's all in here, Kerry. You want to know me? You want to be like me? It's all in here. And I was just saying this morning, you know, the grass is always greener. You know, we live in this world and the grass is always greener. Our neighbours might have something that we want or whatever, you know. We always want. We live in a material world. And the Lord put on me this morning as I was going through the sermon. He says, you know what, the grass is greener. Yeah, you'd be wanting, but you know what? The kingdom of heaven, the grass is gold, brother. I don't want the things of the world. I was at doing a funeral yesterday. And one of the sons came up to me and says, you know, here's my mother in this box. She's leaving the world with a box, soon to be burnt. That's all she has. That's all she has. Incredible. And I said to him, I said, well, mate, if you don't mind, I'll come up this afternoon and take your boat and caravan off you. He looked at me and laughed, which was good. You were meant to do that too. But isn't it funny how we live in such a materialistic world that we want, when really all that we need is right here, because one day we're going to be in the kingdom of heaven. So stop striving and stop wanting what your neighbours want, or stop wanting what you haven't got, because you're going to get abundance. You know, I can't go to Michael Jackson's mansion. I can't go to his Wonder World, Wonder Play area, whatever. I can't do these things to rich and famous, go on a big yacht and all that sort of thing. But I tell you what, when I get to heaven, that'll be all insignificant stuff. Amen? I want to get to know Jesus. Number two, in spiritual maturity, this goes along with the growth of our level of understanding. Write this down. If you're writing notes, I want you to write this down. Understanding, okay? The word understanding is not just a build-up of knowledge. Understanding is not just a build-up of knowledge. Okay? Understanding is not just a build-up of knowledge. It is an application. It is an application of that knowledge to our lives. Understanding is not just a build-up of knowledge, it is an application of that knowledge to our lives. As we're learning more about this light, who Christ is, we're also beginning to live like the Christ and learning that we're learning about. Our increase of knowledge is enhanced by the life that it practices the art of becoming. Look, we're being transformed. The more we read about Jesus, the more we like what we read about Jesus, the more we tend to walk like Jesus. From this day forward, we're becoming more and more like Christ himself. We begin to think the way he thinks. We begin to talk the way he talks. We begin to act like he acts, and we begin to value the things that he values, and we begin to love the things that he loves. I mean, I can look out across this room now, and I know when people first came to this church, and I know some of you that weren't Christians when you came to this church, and then you became Christians, and I can see the transformation that has taken place in your lives by the way you walk, by the way you talk, by the way things you love, by the things that you sacrifice for the church. I see it, and so do many other people see it. That is what spiritual maturity is all about. Number three, shining for others. Now, this week we had a beautiful eclipse, didn't we? Many of you see that? It was absolutely magnificent. And as I came home after going out, and Sally and I were out the back, and I was trying to take photos. You know when you take photos with your phone, you say, oh, I've got a great photo. It was a little dot. And then you extract it, it's all blurry. Actually, I did see one gentleman who did do a nice photo of the red moon, David McDonald, and shocking. Actually, it was a cap, wasn't it? It was a cap, red cap. When I first looked at it, I thought, wow, that looks great. You got a wow from Pastor Fred, but he didn't have his glasses on, obviously, but it would look fantastic. But anyway. But I think it would be helpful to think of it this way. Because when I saw that, I thought of this. When Christ was in the world, okay, he was like the sun. Not God's sun, he was like the sun and the moon, which is here by day. But when the sun goes down, the moon comes up, right? The moon is a picture of the church, of Christians. It shines, but it doesn't shine by its own. It shines only because it reflects the light of the sun. And I was outside that night, I think it was Wednesday night, and I couldn't believe what God was showing me. As we saw earlier, Jesus said of himself in John 8:12, I am the light of this world. But when Jesus was thinking of the fact that one day he'd be taken out of this world, he said to his disciples in Matthew 5:14, he says, you are the light of the world. Jesus' light is reflected on our lives as we become like him. And we take that light and shine it far and wide for the whole world to see. In Luke chapter 11, verse 36, says Jesus puts it like this. He says, if you are filled with light, with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant, as though a floodlight is shining on you. Your whole life will be like a full moon. Just like when we look at the moon. You know, when there's a full moon, don't we look at it? Don't we look at it and go, wow? And some of us may just stare at it and go, wow, that's a full moon. That's great. How many times do you actually stand and look at the moon when it's just got a little bit of light shining on it? You go, oh, that's good. It's not a full moon yet. Laugh. Because that's how sometimes some people look at us. Oh, he's only a bit of a reflection. Wow, look at him. Whoa, full of light. What are you? Are you a bit of a moon? Are you a quarter of a moon? Are you a half a moon? Or are you a full moon? Now, I'm not going super Spiro here, okay? I'm just trying to get you to understand that Jesus Christ is the light. And many of us, I've got little dark corners that I'm trying to get rid of. We've all got these little dark corners. But one day, I want to be as bright as a full moon. Amen? As you reflect the light of Christ, and I reflect the light of Christ, it begins to have a dramatic effect on all the people around us. You see, if we're doing this the way Jesus describes here, they will also embrace the light and join with us in our mission to light up the entire world. I'll have the music team up here, please, as we close. You know, I think our candlelit carols, I always love looking at stories, and when I sit down, I watch things, I always write things down. And this is one thing I did over Christmas. I actually watched as it got darker, kids were and parents were lighting up their candles around the amphitheatre. And you know what? Soon before we knew it, the whole amphitheatre was lit up. And if you took a step back and you looked at the whole amphitheatre, it was lit up. It was beautiful. So we turn off all the lights and each person has a candle. And when one candle's lit, then another one's lit, another one's lit, another one's lit, the entire amphitheatre. Which is a great picture. Great picture. And I see as I look out here, as I just see lights lighting up. And I see lights lighting up through smiles on their faces. I can see it. I can see this place here lighting up. I can see you lighting up. And you know, as you leave this building, that little light will go into either the village or will go into the school or go into this community or go into the shopping center. And you know what? That one little light walking around, someone's going to walk past and go, oh, I want some of that light. Some of you this morning, we got healed this morning. By the grace of God. What are you going to do with that little bit of light? You're just going to go home and go, oh, well, I think I'm healed. I don't know if I'm healed. I don't know if I'm healed. Oh, I'm healed. What are you going to do about it? You're going to go to work tomorrow or something and go, oh, what happened to yesterday? Oh, nothing much. Just got healed. What? Share your light. Yesterday, I went and got my daughter a phone and or a phone plan. And this young Asian man was standing here and we were talking and I said, and he said to me, he goes, oh, I know you from somewhere. And I said, oh, where do you live? Miles away. And I turned around the car and I said, I bet you he knows me from a church. So I said, oh, do you go to youth group? Do you go to a youth group? He goes, oh, I go to Boys Brigade. Went to Boys Brigade. And I went, oh, no. He goes, do you know a youth group? And I said, no, I run a church. He goes, oh, why? What church? I said, Hillside. He goes, oh, I've heard of Hillside. My brother and sister go to Victory Life. And all of a sudden, the light shone. And then there was other people in the kiosk that were involved in the conversation. The light started lighting up. I said, when was the last time you went to church? He says, oh, probably over a year. I said, are you going to go back? And he goes, I said, yes, you are, aren't you? It's like the Jedi thing, you know. And he goes, yes, I will. As we reflect Jesus in our lives and lead others into a relationship with him, their candle is also lit. And they'll begin to light other people's candles as they begin to light others. And until we reach that point that we see Jesus' light reflected in the world all around us, this is what Jesus is called to do, us to do, to simply reflect his light in our lives. And you know what? If we do that, if we walk around with smiles on our faces, if we walk around with Jesus in our lives, he, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, will take care of the rest. Amen. Let us all stand. Therein the lesson of the two parables of reflecting Jesus' light. Again, if anyone needs any prayer, we're a praying church. Amen. We're a praying church. And we believe what the Bible says. We believe what Jesus says. That he is the healer. He is the comforter. So if you know anyone that's not doing too good, be the comforter in those people's lives. Amen. Let's sing.